I want to thank you for inviting me to be with you. And I want to tell my Spanish-speaking people here that I love them dearly. And I can speak 4 or 5 words in Spanish. And I am going to tell you what I know. Mucho trabajo, poquito dinero. You like that, huh? I'm not going to preach to you right now. The service will be later. But I want you to turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. And I'm going to read a couple of verses. And then I'm going to share what God has done in my life and show you how you can ask and it will be given unto you. The Bible says in Matthew 7 and verse 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks, receives. And everyone who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be open to him. And I pray that this little scripture will help you to understand what God has done in my life when I asked. My name is Waleed Bitar. I was born in Lebanon. And Lebanon is not in Tennessee. It's a small country north of Israel. Lebanon is about 4 million people living in it. And 7 million living all over the world. As a parent, my mom and my dad wanted me to go to school to get an education. All you kids should go to school and learn. And most importantly, you kids should learn about Jesus. My mother and father did not know anything about Jesus. So they know money, dollar. That was their God. So they said, because I was raised in a poor family, they said, go learn and become somebody in society so you can bring us money so we can gratify the lust of our flesh. And we can show people around us that we are it. We made it in life. There you are. I love kids. So, we were 5 kids at home. Arabs produce. They have, at that time, no TVs. So, they have a lot of bambinos. Fortunately, we were 7 at home only. 5 kids. We sometimes did not have food to eat. I mean, there are many a times that we have to go to bed hungry. Yet, my parents insist that I should go to school with all my brothers and sisters and work out something in order to make money. all my brothers and sisters succeeded in life. And three of them are living in your country. They are rich people. My sister is a $6 million woman, we call her. Yet there was one in the family that was not interested in education. He was the black sheep of the family. And you're looking at him. I was so dumb that I could not pass elementary school. I flunked elementary school. And then when the teacher said, you're going to repeat your class, the next year I wasn't number one in class. I was still number 10 or 15. There was no interest here and here in education. When I reached secondary school, also dragging, I flunked. And so I did also in high school. And there you are, the time goes when the principal told my mom, this guy is useless. Put him in a trade school. So they asked me, what do you want to be? And I said, I love motorcycles. And I love girls. So that was it. My thing in life. So they sent me to learn to become an auto mechanic. 4 years in trade school, I did not know how the screw unscrews the nut, left or right. I did not understand that. That's how smart I was. I became 20 years old. Many people here graduate from college at the age of 20. But I went to another school at the age of 20. Now for you young people, listen. I was interested in motorcycles and girls. So I was going where the girls are. We have in Lebanon an American school. At that time when I grew up, we had peace and prosperity. And many of the Americans were establishing businesses in the Middle East. So we have a lot of American families. And so I was fascinated with blondes. And so I went with my motorcycle and I wait until the school comes out and I go talk to the blondes. Easier than any other culture to talk to. You go and say hi to somebody and they say hi and then you can strike a discussion or a conversation. After knowing most of the boys and girls in there, I was introduced by some of them to drugs. So in our country, they grow marijuana. And if you were on drugs and you are here, you should know the Lebanese blonde is famous. marijuana and hashish became my life. And I started going with the wrong crowd. I never went to church in my life. We are nominal Christians. We don't go to church because we thought that we do not sin. There you are. My life started over there. I became an addict. And then by time, you start becoming a person that is dependent on drugs to function. So you move from one level to another. So I started with marijuana and hashish, and then I had to have more and stronger drugs in order to satisfy my lust. And every day I go out and seek a way and a mean to find money or steal money in order to buy my drugs. And the time went on. My mom found out that I am a failure, a nobody. So she found a sugar daddy. It's an American idiom. So I can go to Saudi Arabia and work there and make some money. So by the knowledge of this sugar daddy, I was gone to Saudi Arabia to work for Aramco. It's American Arabian Oil Company. And in Aramco, they take idiots like me because the nationals don't want to learn, and I did not have anything to offer them anyway. I don't know much. My boss was a Mexican from Texas, a Chicano. And he liked me. He really liked my character because I spoke little better English than the other nationals do. So we had something to talk about. So I was still a drug addict over there. But the law in Arabia is more stricter than any other country. So buying drugs was hard. You have to pay a lot of money for it. So I started drinking. And we make our own booze over there. We get grape juice and put yeast in it and put a balloon on top of it and many other ways using distillers and things like that. And we made our own alcohol. And life was going on. More addiction, more drugs, more desperation. Yet I was still going for girls because I thought they will bring me joy or happiness. Little that I know. I had a Lebanese girlfriend because I am Lebanese. And then I looked for the American girls. Where are they? And I found their concentration. And I started going from one girl to another because I was a playboy. And then I met a young girl that was married. And she did not like her husband. But she was there for the money. And there I started a relationship with her. And I still have my Lebanese girl. And life goes on. Still corrupt, still desperate, still not happy. And we used to go and get drunk together. Me and this woman and her husband. He's a football player. American football. I mean, can you imagine 200 pounds person? I play racquetball with him. But at night, I take his wife with me. And that was terrible. I'm not proud of what I did. Don't misunderstand me. I'm ashamed of my life. But I want you to learn that so you will not do what I did. You know, when I lived here in the States, they used to have an ad on television. They bring a guy and he was frying eggs. And he puts them in the pan. And he says, "You see this?" And then the guy says, "Yes." And he says, "This is your brains when you are on drugs." And that was my brains. Today, I cannot memorize scripture. Ask and it will be given unto you. Tomorrow I'll forget it. That's 20 years of drug addiction. Don't do that. One day, this young girl, the American girl, said, "I'll leave my husband. I'll take you with me. We live in Delaware, and we'll be happy ever after." And I thought about it, but I was greedy. There was a new girl in the camp, and I wanted to go after her. So she said, one day when we were drunk, "If you don't marry me, I'll tell my husband. He's bigger than this gentleman." And I thought she was kidding. Then I kept giving her excuses why we should not get married at that moment. Then suddenly, she took a leave, a sick leave, and she came here to the States. She had a fight with her husband, and she left. And then she called me one day from a bar in Delaware, and she was really drunk. And she said, "This is your last chance. If you don't marry me, I'm going to tell your my husband." And I did not believe her. The next day, I was playing racquetball with her husband. And we went home to have a drink, and the phone rang. And she was on the phone. And she said, "Is my husband there?" I said, yeah. He said, put him on the phone. So I told him, your wife is calling. And he took the phone, and she told him, you see this friend of yours? I have been sleeping with him for 6 months. And he doesn't like you, and he's not your friend. And for a moment, I thought, this is the end of my life. 200 pounds is coming after me. And we talked, and we talked, and we came to a conclusion. I gave him $3,000 and all the gold chains that I have. And I resigned. And I was coming here to live in this country. I have a sister that lives in Florida. So I called her. And that was 1980 or 79-80. I said, I'm tired. I'm sick. I don't know. I might die. You are my sister. You should help me. And she said, what do you want? I said, I don't want to go home because we have civil war over there. People are killing each other. She said, do you have any money? I said, yeah. She said, how much do you have? I said, I have $147,000 cash in my pocket. 1979. That was a lot of money here. Remember that? She said, I don't believe you. Send the money and I will help you. So I sent her the money. And then she said, okay, you can come. I'll make business and you'll run it. I thought that coming to this country, I will become happy. But I forgot that I am going to bring myself with me. That was an amazing thought. I came and she bought a motel in South Beach, Florida for me. 40 rooms. And the first day I came to the motel, I had a relationship with the receptionist girl. Didn't care about the business, didn't care about anything. I just want the flesh to be happy. And then living in South Beach during the golden age of President Carter, we had more Cubans coming in, and we have more drugs to the South Beach, and my addiction became doubled or tripled. And drugs in Florida, you can buy them on the streets. And they had so many people in jail in Florida that they passed a law at that time that if they catch you with marijuana, they don't put you in jail, they give you a ticket. Did you know that? That was it. But I didn't care. There was a time that I became suicidal. During the time I was living there with my sister and her husband is rich and he is Cuban. Lebanese, Cuban. And he was rich in Cuba during the days of Castro, when Castro became president, he took all the rich people and put them in jail. But my brother-in-law had an airplane, and he fled from Cuba to New York without a penny in his pocket. And he lost all his money. But he was doing business with the people in New York on credit. He started again. And he went to Florida and he became a millionaire again. Works like a dog. Days went by. My sister found out that I am a drug addict. And her husband told her, get rid of him. We don't want him. They had a gardener that fixes their yard. And on Christmas, the gardener came up to me and said, Merry Christmas. In Spanish, I don't remember the words, but. And then I gave him $25. And he started crying. And I said, what's wrong with you? He says, you just came last year and you gave me $25. I've been working for your brother-in-law for years, 20 years. I never received a penny. Then he told me that they were talking about me and that they don't like me and that they want me out of their lives. So I went to the hotel and I found the real estate agent and I told him to sell the motel for me. At that time, I bought the motel for $368,000. But I paid $80,000 down. I sold the motel. I paid the real estate agent like $30,000. And I paid so many expenses, I did not make any money. I lost about $30,000, $40,000. Yet, I was very happy to leave because I don't like hypocrites. That was what I was thinking about. So where shall I go? A drug addict that doesn't know anybody in the state except my sister. And living in the Middle East, we see lots of movies. And movies are made in Hollywood. And I see all these blondes in movies. And I asked, where is this? And the guy said, California. I said, California, here I come. So I packed everything in my car. And I went to California. I was running away from the Cubans. I met the Mexicans because I don't speak Spanish. But I was happy to run away. I was really happy to see all these girls on the beach. I established myself by buying a chicken shack type of Mexican burrito tacos style of sandwiches. It's a small takeout place. I bought that place in Santa Ana, California. And then I bought an independent gas station. No label. And I worked. But I was still on drugs. It cost me $100 every day to satisfy my addiction. In the restaurant, I had a Mexican cook. In the gas station, I had a Lebanese so-called brother that works the gas station for me because I was busy chasing girls and doing drugs. Now at the gas station, this is what happened. My Lebanese brother, one weekend, I was busy at the restaurant. I told him to keep the gas money rolled and put it in the drawer so I will come on Monday to get it. And he saw, being a crook like me, he saw an opportunity to get my money. The gas station was hooked to an alarm at the police station. So we buy that. You buy that alarm. Yet, what he did is, he rolled the money, put it in his pocket, closed the door, put the alarm on, broke the window, and left. And in a couple of minutes, the police was there, and they called me, because they have your phone number. So I came there, and I looked, and the money was not there. So I called my friend. I said, "Where's the money?" He said, "You told me to put it in the drawer." So I did. And the money was gone. I lost $10,000 at least. I could not prove that he took the money. So I was losing my money fast. And the business in the restaurant was not making ends meet. God has just started to work on me. In the restaurant, this Mexican fellow was a Christian. So every day, we have a 10 minutes coffee break. He takes the Bible, and he goes to his car and he starts reading. I could see. I noticed what he's doing. So one day I followed him to the car and said, "What are you doing? Didn't you memorize this book yet? I mean, you keep reading it. What does it do?" And the guy was so sweet, he told me, "I love you so much. But I'll tell you the truth. You die today and you are going to be in hell." And immediately I challenged that thought. I said, "Why? Why? I'm such a good person. I give you your money at the end of the week. I'm not as bad as our neighbor over there. And I'm not as bad as those people in Lebanon. They kill you for 5 cents. So how, on what basis you say? Isn't it works? Isn't the scale theory? Doesn't God put your good works on one side of the scale and your bad deeds on the other side of the scale? And whichever goes down or up, you will end up in heaven or hell? And he said, no. What do you mean, no? How do we get to heaven? Based on what? And he says, you need a sugar daddy. You don't have a sugar daddy. You need Jesus. And I said, what? Jesus? Well, we have a statue of Jesus back home. And I've seen that before. But I never went to church. We don't do church. We do lunch, we do dinner, but we don't do church. That's it. Church is something different to us. Only the old people go to church in Lebanon. Those who are religious. I did not know that I was religious. I did not know that I am really religious and I am satisfying, trying to satisfy the void in my heart by drinking and doing drugs and having sex and all these other things. So we had an argument for an hour, and every day we have an argument for another hour, and life goes on. One day, on Wednesday night, he told me, look, we don't have any business. Come with me to church. I said, church? I don't know what church looks like. We don't go to church. In our country, people don't go to church. Christians, nominal, so-called Christians, don't go to church. Only the old ladies, they put their thing on and their piety and they go to church. And they don't hear anything because whatever the priest is saying is in Latin. You don't understand anything. Kadishat, Madishat, Tararat. I mean, that's terrible. And my mom still goes to church like that. She's 85, but every Sunday she goes to church. She doesn't know anything about God. Poor woman. So I made an excuse. I said, I have to clean the restaurant. I don't want to go to church. He said, if you go to church with me, I'll clean the restaurant for you. That was a Christian. I was lazy and high at that time. I said, okay, I'll go. So we went to church. And I was looking for the priest to come and talk. But there was no priest. They had a man just like me, a Chicano guy that speaks little English and little Spanish. And he mixed them both together and he talks about Jesus. I didn't understand anything. But what affected my heart is the praise and worship songs at that time. They were singing Jesus' name above all names. And I was really, something is getting me. Something is working on me. I am becoming emotionally really kind of, what's happening? So I went home. I was still a drug addict. I didn't get saved. But I was conscious of the statement that the Mexican guy told me. If you die today, you will go to hell. And I was a movie addict too. Through all these channels that you have in here on cable, I used to watch action movies. I like action. So I was flipping the channels to find out anything interesting. And there I saw a guy, an evangelist, talking about Jesus. So I stopped to listen. There was an interest there developing in my heart. I sit in my room, watch the movies and the evangelist, and I roll my pipe or my cigarettes and my dope thing, and I thought that the evangelist and the drugs, they bring me peace. So I should watch that. Days went by, somebody gave me a Bible. And I became curious what this Mexican guy does. He reads, let me read. I want to see what's happening. So I started reading the Bible and going through the Gospels, I found out something that he said. Jesus walked the earth and he healed many. And that is something I could not understand. And so I kept reading and reading and reading, and there are days that I read until 4 o'clock in the morning. I did not get saved yet. But there was something in me that wanted to know. And then the day came. I went back to read that story that Jesus heals. And I cried for 4 hours on the floor of my house. And I said, I want to challenge this God of the Bible. And I said, Lord, if you are really, truly God, and you really, truly heal people, if you heal me, I will teach your word until the day I die. And for 4 hours, I cried and went to sleep. And to my surprise, I woke up in the morning and I was healed. I was healed. I never went to rehab. I didn't put a patch. I never went to a hospital. I never had withdrawals. I forgot about the past that I had. I never understood how I don't like the smell of cigarettes when I smell them the next day. I don't like it anymore. It was something that happened to me. Something. I started going to church. And then I was realizing that I have love for this book, and I have desire to pray, and I became kind of an evangelist telling people what happened to me. And that was amazing to me. I saw how I was going, and I saw the change that happened to me. I am not interested anymore in the people that I knew. Tell you the truth, I became at one point suicidal before I got saved. I bought a gun to kill myself. And I knew so many prostitutes on the streets of Santa Ana that every day we do drugs together. How much time do I have? 5 more minutes? Okay. And one of the girls came one day, and in God's providence, she stole my gun and my credit cards and my passport and everything that I have. And the best thing that ever happened again is the owner of the apartment that I lived in kicked me out because I did not pay the rent. So all the girls that knew me don't know how to find me again. And then I started going to church every day. I went to a church that was, comparatively speaking, big, Calvary Chapel in Costa Mesa. About 30,000 people that visit the church on a weekly basis. I was working 7 days a week and going to church 7 days a week. And every day I hear the radio. They have a radio program. And on the radio, they advertise Bible College. So I said, how could it be? I mean, I have a desire to go to Bible College, but I could not afford it. I lost everything. The restaurant, I lost the gas station, I lost everything. I was living on a credit card, working for $5 an hour in a gas station as guy who pumps gas. And then one day, after a year of praying and asking God to send me to Bible College, one of the pastors came up to me and says, you know, I'm really amazed of what's going on. I don't know. Every time I pray to send somebody to Bible College, God puts your picture and your name in front of me. And for a year, I have been praying and I never told anybody. Who am I? I'm Lebanese. I don't speak English that good. I'm kind of stupid. I don't know much. I mean, why would God send me to Bible College? And then when he told me, I see your face and your name in my prayer all the time, God reminds me of you, I cried in front of him. And I told him that I want to go to Bible College so bad. And he said, okay, you're on. He paid my way to go to Bible College. And I went there 4 years. I studied. And then God started impressing my heart 4 or 5 years down the road to go to Lebanon to preach the gospel. I didn't want to go. I rebelled for 3 years because I like this country. I love this country because God saved me here. I love this country because I can stand in line and I can say yes, please, and thank you. You don't find that over there. So if you plan to become a missionary, you got to be tough. You have to have skin like an alligator. Nothing. You have to understand that they are different. They are people. They are in desperate need of the gospel. Yet, they don't know your culture. And they don't know how to say yes, please, and thank you. There are many of them that are Muslims. And they have a lot of problems. And I will tell you about that in the afternoon session. You better be here. Because that is the ministry that you should be praying for and about. So come this evening and we'll talk about the Middle East, little politics in there, and what's going on, and the many wars that we had. Bring a friend. Maybe the Lord will save them through hearing the message. Let us pray.